at chapter 4. I've got a marker in the Bible to find the place quickly. Want to speak this morning, if I can, about the woman who came to Elisha the prophet. And I've actually spoke a couple of times from this portion, and just bear with me if you've heard it before. Just bear with me this morning, because I want to just come back over it again, and one or two things that I want to detail on maybe. But we'll just read from verse 1 down to verse 7, and we'll get the whole story in these 7 verses. "Now there cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Verse 3. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbours, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go and sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest. I will ask the Lord to bless his word. Our Father, this morning, I just ask you to bless your word. I ask you, Lord, to quicken it to us. I ask you, Lord, that it will be a word in season. And I ask you, Lord, that you'll come among us and speak to us again, Lord. And Lord, that we'll be responsible then, and we'll be encouraged to do something, Lord. In Jesus' name. And Lord, help me as a preacher, Lord, help me as your servant this morning to say what you want me to say. And Lord, let your people receive what you want them to receive. And most of all, Lord, send the Holy Spirit. Yes. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask these things, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats. You know, I've got a title and all for this sermon this morning. It's a real fancy title, but a simple one also, and it's simply this: What hast thou in the house? And you know the story here, and I've written down four pages of stuff. And we mightn't cover all the 4 pages, but there's one or two things that I want to strike on, maybe if I can, and bring to your attention that's in this story. And the story is a full story of an account, I believe, that did take place. I believe this is actually a recording of an event that did actually happen. This event took place, and it was a true event, and it was a true outcome, I believe. But I believe there's a gospel message in it. I believe that we can take from it today in 2019, this is, and it can be relevant to us Because we can see in this story, I believe, types and shadows. And we can see a divine purpose in the story and the hand of God. Now, where the hand of God is in anything, it becomes miraculous. It becomes worthwhile. And you know, if the hand of God comes upon me this morning to speak to you, and you are sitting there and the hand of God comes on you, you'll receive a benefit from what is said and what takes place. Now, the woman came down to the prophet and asked him a question, or tells him a story, and she's in desperation, and she comes down to the prophet of God. And I want you to notice something that's a bit strange here, but this took place, and God spoke to the prophet, and then the prophet speaks to the woman. Now, a true prophet will say what God is saying.
Amen.
He'll not say anything more, he'll not say anything less, but he'll say what God is saying. And if you can hear what God is saying, that's important.
Amen.
Now, when the woman comes up to the prophet, she tells him of her state, and she tells him of her dilemma, and he answers her by two questions. He asks her two questions. He answers the question with a question. Now, sometimes, you know, when you answer a question with a question, you're not really giving an answer. If I ask you a question and you ask me one back, you maybe haven't answered me directly, but you have asked me. I have asked you first. The woman asked the prophet first, and then he asked her. And he said, you know, his first reaction, I think it's a bit blank, if you'll pardon that expression, and if when I meet Alicia someday, and I believe I'm going to meet him, I hope he forgives me for saying this, but I think his first reaction was a bit blank. I think it was a bit negative. He says, what would you have me, what do you want me to do? Verse 2 says, and Elisha says unto her, what shall I do for thee? Now that's a bit different maybe from the way I'm saying it. What shall I do for you? You see, what will I do for you? That's a question. He's asking a question. But then he says, tell me. Boy, this is the part. What hast thou in the house? Boy, this is the start of it. What hast thou in the house? This is what he asks the woman. And the woman gives him an answer in verse 3. No, I'm wrong here. That's not verse 3. Yeah, verse 2. I need to stay in verse 2. And he asks the question, you see, at the start of verse 2. He's asking there two questions. Then he said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? So that's two questions on the latter part of verse 2. And she said, thy handmaid has not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, I want you to notice something here, because this is very important. The woman did not need the prophet of God to tell her that she's got the pot of oil. She had to tell him that she had got the pot of oil. Now, when she said she had the pot of oil, she was not boasting of something that she possessed. She was not boasting that she had got a pot of oil. She didn't. This is not a boast. She's not sounding boastful when she could say that thy handmaid has got nothing in the house save a pot of oil. Now, she wasn't boasting in it, but she knew that she had got a pot of oil. She didn't need the prophet to tell her what she had got. She was able to tell the prophet that she had the pot of oil. She had got something. She had got something that she had received. Now, before I go any farther, and maybe I'm trying to get started, and maybe I am started, and maybe I'm not, but I want you to notice here that this oil represents the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oil in the scripture represents the oil of the Holy Spirit. Oil in the scripture represents the anointing.
Amen.
And the anointing represents the power of God. And oil doesn't only represent the Holy Spirit and the anointing, but it represents the presence of Almighty God. It represents the power of God. It represents the life of God. It represents, if you've got oil, you've got something that didn't come from man, but it came from God. It came from heaven. Hallelujah. And this woman had a testimony. And her testimony was that she hadn't anything in the house save a pot of oil. Let me tell you something. She hadn't anything in the house that she needed to get rid of. She hadn't anything in the house that she needed to get out of the house. But she could say that thy handmaid has not anything save a pot of oil. Now she knew that. She knew she had it. She didn't have to be told. Let me tell you this. You need to know that you've got the oil.
Amen.
It's good to know that you've got the oil. And now she had a testimony. And her testimony was that she hadn't anything save a pot of oil. And she wasn't boasting. She didn't come boasting. She didn't come, I've got oil. I've got oil. No, she didn't come boasting. I don't believe she was a boastful woman, but she was a simple woman. And she came down to the prophet and she tells him the state, the dilemma, the circumstances. And you see, the oil, we're not finished with the oil. There's lots, you see, I should be writing it down over there, but I'm not going to take the time, but we have lots of characters here in this story. It's only 7 verses, but you've got the oil. You've got the woman. You've got the prophet. And you've got her sons. And then there's somebody else. There's something else there. It's the oil again. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, what we have been trying to sing this morning, and you know, we've done a good job at the singing. It was a good bit of singing. But this woman receives instruction from a prophet of God, and then she starts to act upon what she has been told. And it's good to get instruction, but you can get instruction and do nothing about it. Or you can receive instruction like this woman received instruction, and whenever she received instruction, she went into action.
Amen.
Now, you can receive the instruction and do nothing, or you can receive the instruction and do something.
Amen.
Now, she got, I've written it down here, she got the commission. And when she got the commission, she got the commission in verse 3. And I want you to draw to your attention the way that verse 3 starts out. Then he said, that's the prophet of God. What was the first thing he said to that woman? Do you know what it is? The Bible tells me he said, go. Go. He didn't say sit down.
No,
he said, go.
Amen.
And borrow vessels.
Yes.
Abroad.
Yes.
Go and borrow these vessels abroad. Only to a certain group. No. To all thy neighbors.
Yes, amen.
To all thy neighbors. You're not just to go to one group, but you're to go to all thy neighbors.
Yes, amen.
And you're to borrow vessels. And not only that, you're to borrow not a few.
Yes, amen.
So if you get one or two, don't be content. Keep on looking.
Amen.
Keep on praying.
Yes.
Keep on reaching.
Yes.
Keep on borrowing.
Amen.
Keep on keeping on.
Yes.
You see, she was going out and she was saying, may the Lord of harvest speak to me.
Yes.
Speak and I will pray to answer thee. She had two sons. They come down and they say, we're putting an advert in the paper. What? We're putting an advert in the paper. What's the advert? Vessels want it. Vessels need it to meet demand. There's a work.
Yes, amen.
There's a work. There's a commission. There's a work. Vessels need it to meet demand. What kind of vessels? All kinds.
Yes. Amen.
Empty ones. Half full. Full. No, no. Empty vessels. Vessels.
Yes, amen.
So she has got a work to do. She has got a work. She has got an appointment. She has got a schedule. Now it's good to have all them things and God bless you. But God, I believe God wants us to have a work. When you have got a work, you've got a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
When you haven't got a work, you haven't got a purpose.
Yes.
But if you have got a work to do, you have got a purpose. Isn't that right? Sure, if you have no work, what do? You do nothing. What do? If you have no work, you don't do anything. Well, if you don't do anything, then what's your purpose? And if you've got a work, you've got a purpose. And if you've got a purpose, you've got a goal. You've got something that you want to achieve. It's not right. You see, this woman gets instruction and she doesn't hate it. She doesn't put it away and keep it. She starts to act on it.
Yes.
Lord, help us to act upon the instruction that we receive. Because it's then. Now, you see, this woman had a problem. And her whole house had a problem. Her family had a problem. And the problem was that the creditors has come, in verse 1, to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.
Yes.
That's the problem. That was the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Two sons.
Yes.
Now, you don't need to tell me if you miss the repayment on the mortgage, you'll get a nice letter. Wouldn't you? If you miss the repayments on anything, you're not allowed, you get a nice letter. And one thing leads to another when the bills add up and add up. But you see, this creditor, he wanted to come and he wanted to take the two sons and he wanted to say, right, you two boys belong to me until the debt's paid. You see, that creditor represents Satan. No harm to anybody that's in banking or a banker. But that's who he represents here. The creditor represents Satan. And he comes down to the door. He comes down to the woman and said, them two sons belong to me. I'm taking them two sons. But the woman gets a word. And then she gets a work to do. And by she's not asleep. She's not sleeping.
Amen.
She hasn't fell asleep. She has not laid down in the traces.
Yes, ma'am.
But she's active in it.
Right. Yes.
She is active. And she has got a work. She's got a commission. And her two sons is going out to bring the vessels in.
Yes.
And you know what? I want to say this about this woman. This woman is the main character in this story. Do you know that? This woman. Now you might say, what about this woman? Well, this woman can represent the church of the living God. You say she had two sons. Yes, if you want to be spiritual, she had two sons. She had a Gentile bride and she had a Jewish Israel bride. She had two sons. And the devil wanted and put them into bondage and keep them in bondage. You see, he come down looking for the both of them.
Yes, he did.
But here, this woman, you see, she's got a commission on her. She has the commission. She has got the job in hand, is her responsibility.
Yes.
But she's the main character in this story. The woman is. I believe that. Now, you see, these men, what does that speak of? It speaks of outreach. You get the vessels. It speaks of outreach. It speaks of going out and compel them to come in.
Yes.
Jesus said that my house might be full.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go ye into the highways and into the byways and compel them to come in. For he says, my table's furnished. The goods is there.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine these two young men, and they're two young men, and they go down to the local paper and they say, we want to place an advert. And they say, what kind of an advert? Just put down, vessels needed to meet demand. And somebody says, what is the vessels for? The vessels is the purpose to contain oil.
Yes.
The vessel is for the purpose to contain the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
The vessel is the purpose for service to the Lord.
Yes.
These vessels are needed to serve the Lord.
Yes.
These vessels are needed to meet demand.
Yes.
These vessels are needed because there's a great need throughout the land.
Yes.
And the vessels are needed.
Yes, amen.
See, so they go into action. Now, you see, the prophet tells her what to do, and she's so much set on fire that her two sons catch fire. She's the one that's given the orders. She is the one that they're working with and for. They're working for their mother. They're working for this woman. And this woman sends them to get the vessels. Now, you see, the prophet doesn't only tell her to go and borrow the vessels, borrow not a few. And in verse 4 he says, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil is stale. Now, this is, I would say, this is the best part of the story. What do I say is the best part of this story? I say the best part of this story is the pouring out. Now, I've written it down here. The best part of the story is the pouring out, or the outpouring into all those vessels. Now I want you to notice that all the vessels that came and all the vessels that were brought, those oil went into every one of them. Now just when I say that, you know this without me telling you. But I'm only telling you what you know. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. I'm only telling you, and I'm reminding you of what you know. The oil in each of those vessels was the same oil. Is that right?
Amen.
It was the same oil in the very last vessel that was in the very first one.
Amen.
And the same Holy Spirit that come on the disciples on the day of Pentecost is the same Holy Spirit that's on you and me today, And I want to say that you need the same Holy Ghost, you need the same anointing, you need the same power. Now, let me say this, and this is maybe the climax, and maybe I'm saying the climax of this, what I believe at the start, instead of maybe leaving it to later, but I didn't come with my watch this morning, but I don't want to take up a lot of time this morning, but listen, you see, the woman, I said, was the main character here, and she starts to pour out the oil. She starts to pour out the oil, the woman, and her and her sons are in the room. Now I want you to notice something here. I want you to learn, and you already know this. The woman went into the house and she closed the door upon her and upon her two sons. And let me say this morning. The prophet of God was not there. Now the prophet of God wasn't there, now, but he said what to do. Now he wasn't there, but there's somebody else there. There's something else there. How do I know there's something else there? Because she starts to pour out, and she fills all the vessels. And the Bible tells me that the oil stayed, and it stayed in the very first pot. And that pot of oil wasn't exhausted. It was still there.
Amen. Glory.
Now that's a miracle.
Yes.
Now, you see, let me say something else about this woman. And I don't want to say anything negative about her. Because everything that I see about her is good. But this woman had a work schedule, hadn't she? Her two sons had a work schedule. She had a work schedule. And then, when you have a work schedule, then you have a procedure. It's not right. You have a procedure. She had a work schedule and she had a procedure. There was something to be done and she was doing it. Them things is all good. But you can have all of that and not have what happened there. Because a miracle happened. Now, it's maybe the wrong time, but I want to... I'm no good at turning away from the scripture where I am, but I want to quickly turn our brother Matthew, will bring me up 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Because I want to tell you that when that woman went and closed the door upon her and her two sons, she was not alone. Now in the natural she was alone. But in the supernatural she wasn't alone. Because you can't take a pot of oil. And now we're not told what size any of them pots was. How big they were. But she had one pot that had oil in it. That she had received. And she starts to pour it out. And she fills all the pots. And she has still got oil in that first pot. Now let me say this. Her job was not to produce oil.
Amen.
Do you hear that? Her job was not to produce more oil. Her job was only to pour out
Amen.
The oil.
Amen.
Her job was only to pour out what she had received. That's the only thing that she could do. She couldn't manufacture oil. She couldn't make oil. She had never made oil. She had never manufactured oil. She didn't have a hole in the ground that oil was coming out of. It wasn't crude. She wasn't asked to refine the oil. No, she was only asked to pour it out.
Amen.
Oh boy.
Amen.
You see, she was, when she left it, I'd like to have been there because this is the only supernatural event that happens in the story. Did you hear that? This pouring out of the oil is the only supernatural event that takes place in this whole story. You don't need the supernatural to go out maybe and bring the vessels in. Now don't get me wrong when I say that. There's plenty of people saying they have a work. There's plenty of people trying to reach the vessels and bring in the empty vessels, and that is all good. But maybe when they do that, they have no outpouring experience. Let me say this. There's no supernatural event anywhere under the sun in the world without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
You can't operate without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you're operating without the Holy Ghost, you're only working with man's ability.
Amen.
Now, she had all man's ability and all woman's ability to do what she done to get in that room and with them vessels. But when she picked that vessel up, when she picked up that pot of oil,
Amen.
Somebody else had to be there.
Amen.
Now, some people today are still talking about the prophet, and that'll not do you any harm talking about the prophet if it brings faith on the scene. But this woman didn't have the prophet present in the room when she picked up the pot of oil and started to administer what somebody else had given her. When she started to pour it out, the prophet wasn't present in the room, but there was somebody else there. Who else was in the room? Who else could be there? Only the creator of the universe.
Amen.
Only the self-existing one. Listen, it says according as his divine power.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
Where do you make oil? I don't know the chemistry, I don't know the physics, I don't even know the meaning of them words. Physics and chemistry. When I went to the technical school, I could have studied physics and chemistry. And more interest in going to the moon and studying that. Just wasn't interested. This woman, I don't know what sort of an education she had, but she wasn't relying on it.
Amen.
She wasn't relying on anything that she
Glory.
Had been
Amen.
Taught, maybe, but she was relying on a word from God.
Amen.
And she was relying on a prophet's word, but the prophet wasn't present. The prophet never made the oil.
Amen.
No, couldn't. If he could, he'd be a creator. No man can make anything.
Amen.
He can manufacture.
Right.
Man can manufacture. Man cannot create.
Amen.
Only God can create.
Amen.
Satan can manufacture. Satan cannot create. If he could create, he would be God. Now don't call yourself a God, and I don't believe there's anybody in here calling themselves a God, but don't call yourself a God unless you can create. And don't call yourself a God unless you have never one time changed your mind.
Amen. Glory.
That is true. I believe that. But listen to what Peter says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue.
Yeah.
Hallelujah! Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Glory.
For. I want to ask you, what had become of her, or what had she become? She had become a partaker of the divine power of God.
Amen.
She had become a partaker of the divine nature of God. The nature of God.
Glory.
Something miraculous. Something supernatural.
Amen.
You see, you can have a program, you can have a schedule, but unless God comes with the supernatural, you've only got a works program.
Amen.
You've only got a schedule. It'll do nothing. We need the supernatural. We need the supernatural. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit of the living God. We need the power of God. Listen, I'm not saying we don't have it. But you know, the woman had it. But she needed more of it.
Glory.
The woman had the oil. But she needed more oil.
Glory.
She needed more oil. She needed the wick turned up. You know, I say this is the best part of the story.
Yeah.
The outpouring.
Glory.
You know, that's how the church was born.
Yes.
It was born at Pentecost.
Amen.
With a Pentecostal experience. Not just a name, but a Pentecostal experience where the Holy Ghost descended and set upon each of them with cloven tongues like as of fire. And the people began to prophesy and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen.
And I believe that's the note that the church started on, and I believe it's the same note that the church will finish on. The power of God.
Glory. Amen.
The power of God. There's no substitute for the power of God. There's nothing that can replace it. Now, she didn't come out and open up a packet of stuff and pour it into the pot of oil. The oil doesn't need a hand.
Amen.
The oil doesn't need anything added to it.
Glory.
And I want you to know, and as you do know, it's the same oil. There's only one kind of oil. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning.
Glory. Amen.
The Bible says that the wise virgins took their lamps and they took oil in the vessels.
Right.
Oil in the vessels.
Amen.
You know, Lord. An empty vessel, it's not worth much, is it?
Right.
It's the oil. The oil was the product.
Amen.
That was going to bring the deliverance. Now, the deliverance.
Right.
I said the woman had a work to do. She never produced the oil. But the Lord worked with her on her sons, confirming his word.
Amen.
The Lord produced the oil. The Lord produced the oil. What did the oil produce? Why? The oil produced a revival in the life of the woman and her sons. I've written that down. The oil produced a revival in the life of the woman and her sons.
Amen.
The oil will produce a revival in your life and in my life. The oil will.
Amen.
What else did the oil do? Now, you could make a list of what the oil done. The oil brought the deliverance. That's what brought the deliverance. The oil was the substance. The oil was the product. And it was the oil that made this woman to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. I believe that. And you know, let me say this. I've written this down. I've written this here down. I want to tell you, I wrote this here down. Not this actual writing. But I wrote this same thing in my heart over 30 years ago. I wrote this down. You know what it is? God doesn't want you to be a lean, born Christian.
Amen.
You see, way back in the late 70s and early 80s, they started talking about the combustion engine. I know, you're right in thinking, I know a wee bit about the combustion engine. There's two types, there's a two-stroke and a four-stroke. And a two-stroke engine has a power stroke every two strokes. That's why it's called a two-stroke. And a four-stroke has a power stroke every four strokes. That's why it's called a four-stroke. And I'm going to tell you what the four strokes of the combustion engine is. If anybody in here can tell me. Induction, compression, power and exhaust. Them's the four strokes of a four-stroke combustion engine. Induction, compression, power and exhaust. Now, way back in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, everything changed in the world concerning engines. And you start going to the MOT and the man come out of the MOT and he puts a meter in your exhaust to read the fumes or to read the CO2 emission, is that right? And to see if your car is roadworthy. And what was the drive or what was the theme? Reduce pollution. Reduce exhaust fumes. And if your car is hard to run today, it's just harder to tax. Pay your road tax is greater. Or if your car is easy runs, it's easier to tax. Pay your road tax for less. And she gets past the petrol pumps a wee bit easier. Without having to pull in and fill your tank. But all that was geared around from maybe the late 60s or 70s and 80s it was coming in. And nowadays we're down now, so we're back to the electric bread cart. Only she's not a bread cart, she's a car. And I saw one that can do 0-60 in 3 seconds. Electric. A motor in every wheel and just a flying machine. But when the battery goes flat, you need to plug her in. And a man said to me, you can plug in for free. And I said, I don't think there's anything free. Well, that's beside the point. But the point I want to make is, Christians have followed the trend of the world because you can look to the time when the Holy Ghost came on them, and it's a way back 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they haven't done another thing or heard another thing since. They have become lean-born Christians. I want to tell you, God doesn't want you to be a lean-born Christian.
Amen.
But He wants you to use the oil.
Amen.
He wants you to use the oil.
Amen.
He wants you to hunger for the oil. And He wants you not to be afraid to pour the oil out. And I want to say something about this woman. This woman's the main character. I've said that, I'm saying it again. This woman is the main character in this story. Because she's the woman that had the initiative. She's the woman that got the instructions. She's the woman that started to do the work. And she's the woman that influenced her sons. And she's the woman that when she got them all in, shut the door, she lifted the pot and she started to pour it out.
Yes.
And she done that. But she never got more oil. Listen to this part. This is important. She had that pot of oil. We're not told how long she had it. We're not told when she got it. We're not told where she got it. But one thing I do know, and you know too, she never produced it of her own self because she couldn't, but she received it.
Yes, amen.
And when she received it, she didn't need anybody to tell her that she had got the pot of oil. She knew she had it.
Amen.
But she could never reproduce it. And you know what about it? That pot was just sitting there like this glass perhaps. And look, it's almost full. It's not to the brim, but it's almost full. And we don't know how long it's there. But there's one miraculous thing here. There's one divine nature here. There's one from the presence of God. She starts to pour it out. And when she starts to pour it out, she gets more. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you, if you want more of God, and more of the blessing, and more of the power of God, and more of the anointing, and more of the oil, you have to use what you've got.
Amen.
You have to use what you have got. You're responsible for what you've got. I'm not saying you're not doing it. I'm only telling you to keep on doing it. I'm only telling you to use what you have got. And it might seem, you know that you can see them boys carrying in the vessels and setting them down. And they set them down all around the house. The house is filled. And they carry them in. And there's vessels there. And this pot of oil, imagine it's this height. Imagine it's 2 foot off the ground up, but this son comes in with this big pot and it's three foot. And the other brother, he comes in with this big pot and it's 4 foot. Well, this pot is 5 gallons that she has, maybe. 5 gallons. Today children hardly know what a gallon is. A gallon is 4.5 liters metric. Mr. EU. 4.5 liters is a gallon. But this pot she has is maybe, what is it? It's 25 liter. It's maybe 30 liter. But here the son comes walking in, he's got his arms around a big vessel. It's a 200 liter vessel. And he's struggling to carry it in his empty. But she picks up, I want to say this, can you pick up a 25 litre vessel with oil in it and take it over to that 200 litre vessel that's empty and fill that 200 litre vessel out of the 25 litre vessel and still have oil in the 25 litre and this 200 litre vessel's flowing over. Oh, that's America. That's not a man's job. That's not an earthly job. That's the divine nature kicking in.
Amen.
That's the Holy Ghost. That's something else there.
Right. Amen.
That's the Creator. There's somebody there creating. There's something happening here.
Amen.
This woman, I said, she didn't. She only had that one vessel. She had only that one pot of oil. But you know, until she picked it up, listen to this. Until she picked that up and started to use it, there was not anything supernatural took place. You know what's wrong with me? I'm a Quaker. What's a Quaker? Maybe the children doesn't know what Quakers are. A Quaker is a man or a woman who will not move until the Spirit moves them. That's not a Quaker. That's my interpretation of Quakers. There's a Quaker's meeting house, I think in Refrain, and a Quaker's graveyard maybe somewhere in Refrain. I don't know if it's true, but somebody said the Quakers was bright standing up. I don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what way you're buried if you've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You've got something to bring you out of the grave.
Glory.
Until everlasting life. Hallelujah. But you see, this woman took the initiative. You see, when she came in there, somebody might have come and said, you better wait on the prophet coming. The prophet's not here. It's not happening. Well, now, they would have waited a while. Because the prophet had already said what to do. She wasn't waiting on the prophet. She was following the instructions that the prophet gave. She was waiting on God. Now when she started to use what she had, God was working with her. I want you to notice that from this woman got the commission, she started to work. She didn't only start to work, but her two sons were working with her. And they come in the room and they close the door upon themselves. And she starts to pour out. And when she starts to pour out, God is working with her.
Yes,
amen. You know, you read about the disciples that God was working with them, confirming the word with signs following the preaching of the word.
Amen. Right.
No preaching, no confirmation. No gospel, no souls. No time for to receive the Holy Ghost. Nobody receiving the Holy Ghost. No praying for the gifts. Nobody getting the gifts. No operation of the gifts. What have you? What have you? I want you to know, if you were up in court tomorrow, accused of being a Pentecostal fellowship or a message fellowship, choose you off. If your life depended on, if you were to be nominated as a message believer or a Pentecostal believer, now let me say this, I'm a Pentecostal of a Pentecostal. I'm a Pentecostal through and through. I depend on the Holy Ghost. I believe He spoke to me, and I believe He gave me the same oil that He gave to the disciples. I pray God that I'll have the same works that they had.
Amen.
What am I trying to say? This woman became a part and a partaker of our deliverance ministry. That's what she had. She had a deliverance ministry. She didn't have a lot of talk. She maybe didn't have a lot of procedures. She maybe didn't have a lot of schedules. But she had the power of God. I want to say the power of God's the thing that makes the difference. You know what's wrong with us? We're not hungry. Now, don't get me wrong. I know you're working. I know God's using you. May He keep on using you.
Amen.
But you know what evangelists now? I make no apologies for quoting evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. Now Reinhard Bonnke has went off the field. He's not ministering the same as he used to. He asked the Lord one time, why was people only getting saved in dribs and drabs, a wee handful? He went to one of the leading men in the association that he was involved with, and he said, why is it that people can't come in the droves and get saved? And the man says to him, you'll have to wait for revival. And he said, what? Wait for revival? He says, I can't wait for revival. I don't have time to wait for revival. Do you know what he said? Do you know what Reinhard Bonnke said? And I agree with him. He said, God does not want to anoint couch potatoes. He said, God will not sit with sinners, but God will go with goers. What was the first thing the prophet said to the woman? Go.
Yes. Amen.
Go. Get up.
Amen.
Move.
Yes.
Lord. We ever at the traffic lights and there's a car in front of you and you're sitting at a red light and then the light goes green and the car in front sits on? Is that a thing mixed across? That's where you need a car with an overdrive. Drive over the top. Could you imagine your journey? Could you imagine going somewhere and every time you come to the green light you would stop? Do you know what, brother, that man, Reinhard Bonnke, said? And I forget the name of the places, but he was talking about America. And he said if you wanted to go from one town to another town, you didn't know the way. But he said you had it in your head, you could follow another car. He says never try to follow a car that's parked.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Where will a parked car take you to?
That's right.
You'll go nowhere. You know what happened, she? The next thing you know, you're going down and you're an old fella like me. You see a photograph and you say, there's an old boy with a grey beard. Where'd he come from? I mean, you look a bit closer at it as yourself. That happened to me in a video. I saw a video on the... I said, that's old boy. And I said, who's the old boy? Who's on old boy? And then I come up close and the old boy was himself. See, I don't look in the... Is it obvious I don't look in the mirror much? If I did, it mightn't come out. Don't you fall in a park chair because you not go anywhere. You'll still be sitting in the same place. In 20 years' time. You know these two boys went out and they done what they were told. They went out and they brought in the vessels, didn't they?
Yes, man.
But you know, can you hear them talking and wonder? Wonder what sort of a conversation they had. Was one looking at the horn and saying, "Should not need the half of them. Should not need the half of them. Don't know what she wants with that. Should not need it. Bro, bring it anyway. Sure, there's no use. And what? Well, there's no use for it. We've enough. Oh, bring it anyway.
Yes. Yes.
And she started to pour out the oil. The two boys were watching then. Bring me a vessel.
Amen.
Right there, I will go in there quick. There's one left. Was in to bring it out. This is the last one they're watching. They said, that 25 litre, that's never going to fill that in two. Next thing they know, it's full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the prophet said, fill them all.
Yes.
Then it said, set aside that which is full. That speaks of sanctification of the believer.
Yes.
Set aside that which is full.
Amen.
You see, God in that's full, I have a purpose for it. It'll not be where it used to be, or not be doing what it used to do.
Amen.
But I've got a purpose for it.
Amen.
And it's going to start to bring deliverance. Hallelujah.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Just sat over there to the side. It mightn't seem to be doing much at the minute, but it's just sitting there waiting till I need it. And when I need it, I'm going to put my hand on it. And I'm going to start to pour out what's in it. Hallelujah. And the next thing, that woman turns around and she says to the son, bring me another one.
Amen.
Bring me another one. What did he say? Bring me another vessel. Are you deaf? Said there's not another vessel more. I wonder, did he think about one he left? I wonder, did he think about one that he didn't make the effort to bring? I'm not saying he did, but I just wonder. Well, someday you'll be able to ask these men. Someday you'll meet this woman. You'll meet her. You'll meet this woman in the land where you never grew old. You'll meet her. You'll meet her two sons. Them boys will be there. I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. Listen. She brought the vessels and they were all filled with the same oil. Every one of them. You know, maybe you see one carried in that looked a bit dirty. Looked a bit scruffy. And nobody was standing there saying, don't be bringing that in here. That'll not be needed. Oh, no. Bring it on in.
Amen.
That's great. Yes.
Bring it on in.
Amen.
What went in it? Same oil as the original.
Glory, amen.
The same as the original.
Glory.
Went in every vessel. You know what happened? Now, this might be the best part of the story for you, but what happened was then she went and she said to the prophet, I've got all them vessels in. And she came in verse 7 and told the man of God, and the man said, go and sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thy and thy children off the rest. You see, that's a deliverance ministry.
Yes, amen.
That's a deliverance ministry.
Amen.
There's no other way to describe that. That is a deliverance ministry where God worked a miracle.
Yes,
amen.
The woman was a benefactor of that ministry. The woman became a deliverer. She became a deliverer. Her sons became deliverers. And she and her sons was delivered from the bondman.
That's right. Yes. Amen. Glory.
The bondman had no, he couldn't point the finger. They didn't know him that. They owed him nothing. They didn't know him a halfpenny.
Amen.
Not a penny.
Yes.
Nothing in my hand I bring.
Amen.
Simply to thy cross I cling. Rock of ages cleft for me.
Glory.
Let me hide myself in
Amen.
Me. Oh, I tell you, this woman poured out the oil. Boy, when she started to pour it out, God started to do his part.
Amen.
Now, I want to encourage you, and I want to tell you that if you do your part, God's obligated to do his. Now, don't be discouraged. Don't say, oh, I couldn't do it. You know, that woman never said she couldn't do it. And let me say, God never asks you to do something that you can't do. But she just done it by simple faith. Now, it was faith, wasn't it? It was an act of faith. But it was the miraculous. What started out to be natural turned to supernatural. What started out with just one pot of oil finished up with a house full of pots. And she was able to sell, to clear the debt. Oh boy, the debt's cleared, you know, at Calvary.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
The debt's paid in full at Calvary.
That's great. That's great.
And you can make a draw.
Right.
To clear it.
Yeah.
And not only can you make a draw to clear it, you can live with the rest.
Amen.
She was sustained. It sustained her and her family the rest of her day. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I've written down loads of stuff here. I haven't maybe read it all. Remember, God's not looking for lean-born Christians. Remember that. Use the oil you have.
Yes.
Don't spare it. Too many people sparing the oil. Too many people today say, we don't need the oil.
Mm-hmm.
We've moved on. I don't believe you can move away from the oil. The foolish virgin had the lamp.
Mm-hmm.
She had no oil in the vessel. And she wasn't ready because she hadn't got the oil in the vessel. How did the woman get more oil? She got more oil when she used what she had. If she never had started to pour out, then vessels would still be sitting there empty. Did you know that? Until she starts, she's the main character. Now listen, I've written down here, what was the main ingredient? The main ingredient is oil.
Yes.
What's the main ingredient in our meetings? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
What ought to be the main ingredient? The Holy Ghost.
Right.
What ought to be the main attraction?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Ghost. The moving of the Holy Spirit of the living God. That ought to be the main attraction, because that's the only thing that will bring deliverance. I'm saying that again. The only thing that can bring deliverance is the moving of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Nothing else. No. Any other procedure. You can have procedures. You can have works. You can have all these things. You can have lectures. You can have whatever you want. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor in vain.
That's right.
Unless the Lord will keep the city, the watchman watches, but in vain.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God we need. The main person in the story, I believe, is the woman.
Amen. That's right.
The woman. I believe that woman represents the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman. She's the main character. She's the one that took the initiative. She's the one that inspired her sons. She's the one that took the oil and started to pour it out. She's the one, I believe, that took the oil, and when she received the money, she paid the debt.
Amen.
And she was able to live with the rest. You know, who was the main provider? The Lord. The Lord was the main provider. He still is. There's no substitute. There's nothing else. Oh, praise the Lord. You see, the woman, I'm coming till I close, but listen. The woman never produced the oil. She didn't produce it. She never produced the oil. God produced it. Isn't that right?
Amen.
We can't. The woman didn't boast of what she had. But she testified of what she had. She If you'd look for the time when she received it, I believe she received it, and I believe that she still had it. She still had the oil. The Bible says the oil stayed. The oil didn't go away. Now, I'm picking up your time. I have no watch on me, guys. I'm sorry.
20 to 1.
Well, it's time I had. I think I've said enough. I want to encourage you. What has died in the house? You know, if you've got a little oil, you've got the ingredient for the miraculous, for the supernatural.
Amen.
Isn't it true? You know, the woman had inspiration. She had a commission and she had a work. She started doing it and she got her sons involved. And she picked up the oil and she started to pour it out.
Amen.
Remember, God doesn't want you to be an anointed couch potato. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, what are we doing? I feel I have to ask myself. Because I maybe don't have as much time as you. And we believe the Lord's coming. And I want to say this. We believe in the catching up. There's not a man on the earth believes it any more than myself. I say that again. There is not a man on this earth that believes in the catching up more than I. And I don't want to sound boastful when I say that, but I believe that with all my heart. I believe the Lord could come at any time. But I'm going to tell you something, and I've maybe told you this before, but I'm telling you again now. If you're here and the Lord comes to catch you away in the catching up, I want to tell you the first person or persons that you will think about is the people that you know and love who are going to be left behind. Fact. I believe that. That's the first thing you're going to think about. The ones you know and love who are going to be left behind. And you have spent your time here. And anything that you have said or done, you have done, you can't do nothing more. Jesus said, the night time cometh whenever no man can work. He meant whenever you fall asleep. So whatever you're going to do, do it now. Don't wait. Don't say we need to wait for revival, we need to wait. You need to wait for nothing. You need to do it now. If you don't do it now, you'll not do it. I believe God's wanting us to do it. He's wanting us to do it now. Praise the Lord. May Brother Gary come. You know what I'd like to do when the time is greatest, but you know I can't do it. Only the Lord can do it. Everybody filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Everybody filled with the Spirit of God. You know how you get filled? Ask God to fill you.
Right.
You know, I say come up here and drink this glass of water. The water mightn't taste good. Mightn't be great. It's not lemonade. It's not fizzy. It's not sweet. It's probably bitter. But if you're really thirsty, you could drink it. But if you're not thirsty, you would maybe want to spit it out. May God give us the thirst. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
I'm just going to pray, and listen, you ask the Lord to fill you. You ask the Lord to help you to do what you want, what He wants you to do. What you see, the woman didn't really do what she wanted to do, but she done what God wanted her to do. That's a different thing. Ask the Lord to help you to do what He wants you to do. And I believe He'll be your portion. And I believe He'll be your deliverance. Lord, this afternoon we thank You and praise You for Your word. We know, Lord, that this is an event that took place way back in the Old Testament. We know, Lord, that the spirit of Elijah was on Elisha to speak that word to the woman, and she went and done it. And Lord, I believe that when she came in and shut the door upon her and her two sons and started to pour out, that you were there in the room and you came and you done a miracle, Lord, of multiplication of that oil. Lord, you sent the fire again at Pentecost. You sent the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I believe it's already here. This Holy Spirit's already here. Lord, you're already present. And Lord, just while you were in the room with the woman when she picked up the pot of oil to pour it out, oh God, you can come in this room now. And Lord, we believe that we're two or three are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that you'll just come in this room and start to fill vessels.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, that you'll fill them to full and overflowing, and you'll set aside that which is full for your use, Lord.
All right, amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, that also there'll be other vessels brought here.
Yes.
And they also may be filled in Jesus' name. Lord, you know, if I could make oil, I'd start making it. If I can produce it, I'll start producing it, Lord. But Lord, I can only give what you have given me. And Lord, help us all to give what you have given us.
Amen.
Help us not to try to give anything else or something else. Because anything else or something else will not be your plan and purpose. But I say, come, Lord, and minister your grace to each heart and each soul in this room. And Lord, I ask that your people will be encouraged because of this. And not discouraged.
Amen.
But Lord, that we'll be careful to go out and do what we can. Lord, I believe these two sons acted. And I believe that they were working till a time schedule. And one day, it was too late to get another vessel. But I ask you, Lord, that we'll redeem the time.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name. Lord, most of all, fill with your spirit the full and overflowing. In the name of Jesus. And bless your people. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our brother Gary's going to come. Praise the Lord.
Oh, my God.